Welcome to the Football Game Plan Radio Network, where football makes sense. This is our Draft Prospect Analysis Show. I'm your host, Chris James. We have an excellent show lined up for you this week, folks. As I stated a few weeks back, going through each and every pick from the NFL draft, giving a grade, little assessment as far as what they mean to the team, likes, dislikes, whatnot. Also, we'll tell you about some undrafted free agents to look out for who can either make that squad or make another roster later on in the season. Just some guys to keep in mind. And what I'm also going to be doing this week is going through three divisions. As you know, the last two shows I went through the NFC South by itself and the AFC South. I'm going to go through the rest of the AFC, the North, the East, and the West. So we're going to jump into it. We're going to start with the first team. That's the Baltimore Ravens. Remember, we do this alphabetically in each division to not give any sort of preference to a team whatsoever. And if you do want to be part of the show, folks, that call-in number is 323-657-1489. That's 323-657-1489. So the Baltimore Ravens did a decent job this year as far as attaining the proper amount of picks. They had 9 of them. So good job moving up and down in the draft, making some decisions. And they stuck firm at the 26th pick in the first round and went with Breshad Perriman, wide receiver out of Central Florida. You know, initially I gave this a C. I'm going to go with a B on this particular pick. I'm not a big Perriman fan, and it's not because of his lack of physical ability. He's probably the second most physically gifted receiver in this entire class. My problem is that he's inconsistent with what he does. He does catch the ball with his hands, but who cares if you can't consistently get open? Now, they replaced Torrey Smith with another Torrey Smith clone since Torrey Smith is now in San Francisco. So let's see how this works out. Gave it a B. Second pick, 55th overall, Max Williams, tight end out of Minnesota. Remember, I had him ranked as one of my top tight ends. Had him with a second-round grade, and he went in the second round. I gave it a B-plus here. Reason being is they like a guy that is non-traditional, not an inline guy. They want that guy who can be flexed. And he is pretty much a younger version of Owen Daniels and Dennis Pitta. He should work very well in the scheme, and Joe Flacco will find himself a new weapon that he really likes. Third-round pick, 90th overall, Carl Davis, defensive tackle out of Iowa. A-plus. Carl Davis was one of my preseason 15, top 15, 4-15. Just thought he had a skill set that was great. Not the most explosive guy, but what he does is controls, holds well, and allows for the linebackers behind him to do their job. He's going to play very well in this scheme, and for them to get him in third round when he had first round ability is amazing. Fourth round, 122nd overall pick, Za'Darius Smith, deep out of Kentucky. A-plus. One of the things about Smith is I think he's still more classically ready to play in the 4-3 scheme up front, which they'll probably use him in some of those packages, their NASCAR, race car packages, whatever they want to call it. This is a more traditional 3-4 fronted team, but like any team in your sub packages and your nickels and dimes, they're going to need a defensive end. He should play very well in that position. Sticking in the fourth round, 125th overall pick, Javaris Buck Allen out of USC, running back. Give it a C-plus grade here. He is an improvement to the guy they drafted last year, Lorenzo Talifario. Remember, they kept Justin Forsett on the roster. I think that this guy does have some talent to him and that he could be a big-time player with what they do in the scheme. He does have one cut ability, and that's big-time for this particular offense. Sticking in the fourth round, their third pick in the fourth round, 136th overall. That's going to be Trey Walker, cornerback out of Texas Southern. Shout out to Stephen James and the rest of the James gang who graduated from Texas Southern and good old Houston. I gave this a B grade. I think that he's a big physical corner who could honestly be the next big-time guy that came from nowhere. He's got that type of physical ability. It's the lack of experience with the position as far as playing against more talented receivers that could be the problem. I think they'll ease him in, let him play in some sub-packages on special teams, and then he could be a dominant force, being that 6'2", 210-pound corner type guy. Big guy who can really run well also with receivers. Fifth round, 171st overall pick, Nick Boyle, tight end out of Delaware. Gave it a B. I think he's going to work very well as an H-back, do what, you know, they brought Dallas Clark in at one point in time to do. While they'll have a guy flexed out in Max Williams, this is going to play more of the H-back role, a guy who flexes and does a lot of things. And he can even do some inline stuff. It's not really his strength, but look for him to be helpful for Joe Flacco and that team. Fifth round, 176th overall pick, Robert Myers, guard out of Tennessee State, gave it a C. I have a little familiarity with Myers making an all-star game. The good thing about this kid, he's going to come in and fill at a position where they're going to use their guards quite a bit. This is a team that loves to run the ball, and they have suffered some injuries along that offensive line, which prompted them to go with a guy with this physical skill set. Sixth round, 204th overall pick, Darren Waller, wide receiver out of Georgia Tech, gave it a B. You know, he could prove to be a huge red zone target for this team, split out wide, or even operating in the slot when there's more room. He could be a seam specialist. And here's some undrafted free agents who have a chance to make this roster that you should look out for. Trey Dupree, inside linebacker from Alabama. I like Dupree because he does understand the game very well. His lack of mobility side to sideline to sideline is restrictive as an inside linebacker in the 4-3, but in the 3-4, especially if they use him as the guy who's just they coming down the alley, making tackles behind the nose, he should be fine and could actually make this roster because that's the style that they want to play here in Baltimore. Cam Worthy, wide receiver out of ECU. Another guy, this is a lean wide receiver core this year, and I think that the addition of guys like this, Cam Worthy, a guy who can catch the ball, high-point it, and make things happen, could be huge, and he could make a roster. Julian Wilson, cornerback out of Oklahoma. You know, he had a grade on him, a fifth-round grade, and not getting drafted, I understand, not the most physically gifted corner, but at the same point in time, what they like in Baltimore is a corner who can face up, press, and ride with the receiver, and Wilson can do that. Nick Easton, tackle out of Harvard, offensive lineman, as he's going to probably move inside. Again, getting more help for that interior line is going to be a big thing for them. Caleb Johnson, another tackle out of Rutgers. Again, more and more help. That's what they look for. They want to protect the investment they made into Joe Flacco, and by getting more protection when people go down, you'll be able to do so. So we're going to go ahead and move on to the Cincinnati Bengals. They had quite a few picks in this draft as well, doing the job with nine again. Cincinnati, 21st overall pick in the first round. Cedric Abui, tackle out of Texas A&M, gave it a B+. You know, the Bengals were soft at D-tackle, so that was a clear move until you realize that the fit for Abui on this team is great. Plus, he was there, and they might not have expected him to be there. Second round, 53rd overall pick, Jake Fisher. Tackle out of Oregon. Gave it a B. You'd say, they seem like they already had tackles there, protection of Andy Dalton, and also opening up lanes for Jeremy Hill, who will be the next big-time back in this NFL, folks, is huge. We see what happens when you protect the quarterback and open up holes in the running game. Even Tony Romo starts to look at MVP candidate with what they did down in Dallas. I like those first two picks. Third round, 85th overall pick, Tyler Croft, tight end out of Rutgers. Gave it a B+. I don't think you understand. While it seems weird having two tight ends on the roster already, I looked at it further and I said, you know what, they're going to use him as a big receiver because they don't have a secondary receiver to A.J. Green. And you say, Muhammad Sanu, this and that. This guy will be used. He'll flex in and out with Muhammad Sanu. He'll play in the slot. He'll play outside. They have a guy who just plays football very well. He's an oversized receiver, to be honest. Third round, sticking in it, 99th overall pick, Paul Dawson, inside linebacker out of TCU, gave it a B. Dawson, there's always this talk of his lack of physical ability. Well, I want to talk about his extreme ability of his football knowledge and the fact that he plays the game and he's always in a play. So I don't care if you don't run a fast 40. If you're always making plays, I'm pretty sure you're better than the other guy. So great pickup here for the Bengals. Fourth round, 120th overall pick, Josh Shaw, cornerback out of USC, I give it an A+. This is a guy with first-round talent who could play safety, has played safety. He's a press corner. I think right now he's better than Drake Kirkpatrick, and that's a point-blank period. Point-blank period comment. You can take that to the bank that I said it and tell anyone that I said it. Fourth round, 135th overall pick, Marcus Hardison, defensive end out of Arizona State, gave it a B-. Definitely active in fronts. They'll probably use him, especially in sub packages, as a D tackle. I like it because they did have some struggles along that D-line, and they do tend to like a left defensive end who has a little size to him, a la Carlos Dunlap. So look out for this guy really filling in and giving him some support on that second level or second string on the defensive line level. Fifth round, 157th overall pick, C.J. Uzomah, tight end out of Auburn, C-. Reason being, crowded. You're not going to use him at fullback. I don't think he's going to make the roster, so I didn't understand the selection at this point. You're crowded at the tight end. Why take another tight end? Sixth round, 197th overall pick, Deron Smith, free safety out of Fresno State, gave it a B. The guy definitely is a ball hawk. He gets back there, he attacks the ball, and that's what they need. Their free safety the last few years has not been that. They've been more of an in-the-box guy who's been moved deep. Now they have a guy who can play deep. Seventh round, 238th overall pick, Mario Alford, wide receiver slash return man out of West Virginia. I gave it a C. I understand why they picked him. Kid's got a heck of an ability, especially in the open field, to be a return man. Could have probably picked him up as an undrafted free agent, but locking him down as a member of your team and giving him the opportunity to earn a spot, probably a smart decision on their part. So here are some undrafted free agents who have an opportunity to make their roster or another roster. Chris Jaspersy, center out of Marshall. He's one of my top five rated centers. Surprised he didn't get drafted. Jake Kumerow, wide receiver out of Wisconsin-Whitewater. D3 guy who's going to get the opportunity to show that he can catch the ball, runs precision routes, and that's big time in an NFL that you have to get open. I don't care if you get caught from behind after catching the ball. Catch the doggone ball and get open. Trevor Roach, outside linebacker out of Nebraska. Another guy that just flies around and gets in plays. Mark Weissman, running back slash fullback out of Iowa. He'll probably end up being the fullback on this roster, which will probably take the place of C.J. Uzomah, who was drafted in the fifth round. And then Jake Smith, offensive tackle out of Louisville. Very shocked he didn't get drafted. He's a guy who had a third to fourth round grade on him. So surprising that he didn't end up going. So sticking in the same state, we're going to move on to the Cleveland Browns. And Cleveland is having a big time explosion in sports right now, the entire state of Ohio. In fact, when you look at Ohio State winning a national championship, you look at Cleveland in the NBA Finals, it's rocking up there in the Ohio region. So Cleveland had 12 draft picks. Cleveland and the doggone 49ers have 14 picks every doggone year. It's amazing. So two first-round picks, the first of the two, 12th overall selection, Danny Shelton, defensive tackle out of Washington. Shelton is definitely what you call a space eater, a classic nose tackle who, for two downs, is going to give you everything you need on first and second downs. Obviously, third position, the goal line, but he is a guy who's going to get the job done. And quick story, he didn't know if he was going to be able to do anything with the draft because he was trying to get a paper done because he was still trying to get his schoolwork done. So kudos to that young man. I gave him a B as a grade. He's going to be the guy in the middle, period. Second pick in the first round, 19th overall, Cam Irving, center slash offensive lineman out of Florida State. I gave it an A grade. You know, the Browns decided to protect the quarterback, and this guy can play all five positions. He was a top tackle, in my opinion, last year and made the move to center, and now he's probably had added longevity to his career with that position switch. Second round, 51st overall pick, Nate Orchard, defensive end slash outside linebacker out of Utah, A+. Excellent pass rushing threat that could excel at the left outside linebacker position because of his abilities that he holds. Third round, 77th overall pick, Duke Johnson, running back out of Miami. Gave it an A. You know, he may be the best back on this roster and could start by midseason. Sticking in third round, 96th overall selection. We're going to go with Xavier Cooper, defensive tackle out of Washington State. Gave it a B. He should be a great fill guy at the five technique, the three and one, if they go with one of those even fronts. I think that he could be a helpful guy there. Sticking in the fourth round, 115th overall selection, Abraham Campbell out of Northwestern. He's a safety. Gave it a B+. You know, Campbell could push for an immediate spot in the rotation. Just a guy who's back there and does stuff that really is just winning football, to be honest. Still in the fourth round, 123rd overall pick, Vince Mayo, wide receiver out of Washington State, gave it an A. You know, the addition of Dwayne Bowe made sense because they needed a big receiver, but Mayo could be the future at the X position because I think Bowe to not be the old Dwayne Bowe. We'll see what happens with that position. Sixth round, 189th overall pick, Charles Gaines, cornerback out of Louisville, gave it an A. You know, there's a lot of A's and B's going out here. I really liked what Cleveland did with this draft. But Charles Gaines was one of my favorite press corners in this draft. I thought that he did have, he's a little undersized, but I think that he's feisty, tenacity, and I think he could get out there and play in this secondary and help out for Cleveland. Sixth round, 195th overall pick, Malcolm Johnson, out of Mississippi State, gave it a C. They needed tight end help. That's true. And he's a blocker and shows that they have a commitment to the running game this year. Sticking in the sixth round, 198th overall pick, Randall Telfer, tight end out of USC, gave it also a C. You know, a bit more athletic than Malcolm Johnson, but you can't do this when you also have Ben Koyak sitting out there. These two picks, if you're going to go tight end, had to be Ben Koyak, just period. Seventh round, 219th overall pick, Hayes Pillard, inside linebacker out of middle of the D that can make some plays. And then their last selection, 241st overall pick, Ifo Ekpre-Olamu, cornerback out of Ohio, out of Oregon, gave it an A+. Reason being, he went to a man-to-man coverage team, which is a strength of his, that doesn't need him early on. They can let him recover from the ACL tear and really do some good things for him later on. Here are a couple of free agents that were undrafted that could help them. Darius Jennings, wide receiver out of Virginia, very underrated prospect. And also, Deontay Saunders, cornerback out of Tennessee State, former Florida Gator. You know, they're deep at the corner position, but I think that he could impress and make a roster somewhere because of his physical ability playing both wide receiver and corner early in his career. And then last but not least in this particular division, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, the Steelers had some picks. They had eight. This entire division had 8, 9, 9, and 12. Just a lot of picks in this particular draft. So let's go through these picks and see what the Pittsburgh Steelers were able to do to improve their roster. First round, 22nd overall pick, Bud Dupree, outside linebacker out of Kentucky, gave it a C grade. You know, the addition of Dupree isn't a bad one, even though, C+. Isn't a bad one, even though they have three outside linebackers already. I just thought that Shane Ray would have been a better fit in their scheme considering what he brings to the table, and he was on the board at 22. Second round, 56th overall selection, Cinquez Golson, cornerback out of Mississippi, Ole Miss, gave it an A. You know, he'll probably start, in my opinion, at some point in that secondary, maybe even at safety. Let's see what happens with Golson. Third round, 87th overall selection, Sammy Coates, wide receiver out of Auburn, gave it a B-. Another toy for Big Ben to have to go deep. Him and Tavis Bryant, two deep threats that will get fits. Fourth round, 121st overall pick, Dorian Grant, cornerback out of Ohio State, gave it a C+. You know, physical corner with a solid understanding of the game. I think that he'll probably end up playing that field side, being more handsy and helping in run support. Fifth round, 160th overall pick, Jesse James, tight end out of Penn State, gave it a C. You know, he's a big target, but he's quite stiff in his pass catching. I think he'll probably end up playing an inline guy. We'll see what happens with this particular pick. Sixth round, 190th overall selection, Latarius Walton, defensive tackle out of Central Michigan, gave it a C+. You know, he could be useful considering what's on the roster at DN and that five technique, four tech, whatever, in that particular scheme. They have not gotten the production that they needed out of that position that they've drafted in the past. Sticking in the sixth round, 212th overall pick, Anthony Chickalo, defensive end out of Miami, C plus grade and C above comment. Same exact thing. He could end up helping. I don't think that he's the type of athlete that would play the outside linebacker position or role. Probably slide inside. In seventh round, 239th overall selection, Gerald Hutton, free safety out of Louisville, gave it a B plus. You know, they may have found their next starting free safety for the squad. So here's some undrafted free agents that can make the roster. You know, Cameron Clear, tight end out of Texas A&M. You look and you say, wow, well, what's going on here? I think that Cameron Clear is one of those oversized wide receivers that really could be a matchup nightmare, and they could bring him in as third tight end to do some work. Reesus Mukes, center slash offensive guard out of Auburn. Another guy who could be a good fill guy, come in there and play on that O-line that has had trouble for years. B.J. Finney, center out of Kansas State. Clear and present danger for the guys who are on the roster. Obviously, he's not taking over for Marquise Pouncey, but Ramon Foster, those other guys who are playing guard, watch out. These guys can play some football, and they might be on the roster. Devin Gard, wide receiver slash specialist out of Michigan. Another guy, he's coming to his own trying to play the wide receiver position, but he's so versatile that he could make the roster somewhere, even as a return man. And Ross Sherman, running back out of Lafayette, just getting depth at that position. They don't have much depth at the running back position. I think that he could end up being a very useful tool for this team. So we're going to move on. We're going to go with the Buffalo Bills. We go with the AFC East now. And the Buffalo Bills were an interesting team this year. They get Rex Ryan in there. They're trying to attack and make sure that they can be a playoff-bound team. Great defense last year. Let's see what they did to improve their offense with six picks in the draft. Second round, no first rounders this year. Second round, 50th overall. Ronald Darby, cornerback out of Florida State, gave it a C grade. I just didn't see the value in drafting Darby at this position, considering the fact that he had some deficiencies in his game. There are other guys who had more physical talent on the board from a football standpoint. Darby is a good player, but I think he's more speed than, you know, tracking a ball, doing that type of stuff. Compared to some guys that are on the board. Third round, 81st overall pick, John Miller, guard out of Louisville. A lot of Louisville guys flying off the board. That's a testament to Charlie Strong's recruiting. Gave it a B. Think that he'll be a helpful tool inside on a team that really needs protection, opening up some holes on the interior of that offensive line. Fifth round, 155th overall pick, Carlos Williams, running back out of Florida State, C+. Be useful in the rotation. They might even move him to fullback, which would be interesting in my opinion. He could be a very useful fullback if they don't just let him be a battering ram, someone that catches the ball at the backfield, a lot of play action stuff, movement stuff, and even use him as a single back. I think that he could be very useful. Sixth round, 188th overall pick, Tony Stewart, outside linebacker out of Clemson, C+. You know, it's a crowded defense. I think they're getting nice sub-package guys, nice sub guys, and fill guys. Who can play football, this kid can do so. Sixth round, 194th overall pick, sticking in the ACC. They went with Nick O'Leary, tight end out of Florida State. I gave it an A grade. I thought that the position that they got him in and also the addition to the team, extremely helpful. I almost gave it an A+. They need to use him, though, and utilize his talents. Has a lot of Dallas Clark to his game, but he's a better blocker. Seventh round, 234th overall selection. Desmond Lewis, wide receiver out of Central Arkansas. Give it a B. You know, they get a big body target. They have a lot of nice, scatty guys, smaller guys who are either slot-type guys or explosive guys. They don't have a guy who's really a bigger-bodied wide receiver, and this could be a useful one for them. So let's look at the guys that were undrafted that could be helpful. Eric Williams, defensive end slash outside linebacker out of Bethune-Cookman, got a chance to see him in the Florida Classic, and the guy had some real-deal talent, folks. He could make a roster somewhere. Justin Hamilton, defensive tackle out of Louisiana Lafayette, a guy who I thought really didn't get the credit that he deserved for being a force that held up on the interior for that Raging Cajuns team. A.J. Tarpley, inside linebacker out of Stanford, another guy who I think Tarpley has more ability than he showed this particular year. Last year he played very well, 2014, wasn't exactly what I expected it to be. Cam Thomas, cornerback out of Western Kentucky. Another guy who has some ability and might be able to make the roster because that cornerback core up there, after the number one and two guys, It's a little interesting up there in Buffalo. Andre Davis, wide receiver out of USF, and that's a guy to look forward to, folks. Definitely a guy who you have to consider as a big-time player. So we're going to move on to the Miami Dolphins. Now, the Dolphins had a few selections in this particular draft, seven, and let's see what they were able to do. Their first-round selection, 14th overall, Devontae Parker, wide receiver out of Louisville, gave it a B+. Reason being is the selection gives Tannehill some serious threats at wide receiver. He can now have two X receivers in Parker and Landry and a Y in Stills. This is really good for him, really good. Let's see if Ryan Tannehill is able to take advantage and hit open receivers. Second round, 52nd overall pick, Jordan Phillips, defensive tackle out of Oklahoma. He's not a tackle but could play it, and I think that's how they'll utilize him in this particular scheme. Fourth round, 114th overall pick, Jamil Douglas, guard out of Arizona State, B+. You know, a helpful addition to O-line that needs help. Let's just be honest about it. They have for years. Fifth round, and they had a few fifth round picks. 145th overall pick, Bobby McCain, cornerback out of Memphis, gave it a B. You know, he has a lot of ability and could step in and play slot corner in year one. Sticking in the fifth round, 149th overall selection, Jay Ajayi, running back out of Boston, out of Boise State, give it a B+. You know, he could be the eventual starter or split carries with Lamar Miller. That's the type of player that he is. They have the next selection, the 150, with Cedric Thompson, free safety out of Minnesota. You know, playing opposite Brock Vereen a few years ago, this guy has ability. Give it a C+ grade. You know, he's a combo safety that could be useful in sub packages early on. And then their final pick, fifth round, 156th overall selection, Tony Lippett, wide receiver slash corner out of Michigan State. I give it a C. I like the player, but I don't like the fact that they're trying to switch from the cornerback. Some people have faith that that's going to work. I'm just not that guy that believes in doing that unless a guy is. I just don't believe in doing that. It's been successful for some teams, but it's also been disastrous for some other teams. So let's see what happens. Some undrafted free agents that could make the roster or could impress. Ray Drew, defensive end out of Georgia. I think he plays the exact style of football that Miami wants to, playing from that 5-tech, being able to flex out and be a left defensive end in a 4-3 scheme when you go to that. Should be useful. Zach Vigil, inside linebacker out of Utah State. All he does is finds the football, and all he does is tackle. Poor man's Luke Kuechly, if you will. Jeff Luke, inside linebacker out of Cincinnati, former Florida State Seminole who ended up at Cincinnati. Think that he has the opportunity to at least impress. He's got some physical ability. Let's see if he's able to develop a niche for himself. Ellis McCarthy, defensive tackle out of UCLA. You know, he's just a good player who could be impressive on a defensive line that, even though they have Sue there already, they don't know what else they have there on the defensive line. And then Andre Walker, offensive tackle out of USC. They're just trying to figure out how to protect better. Tannehill was rushed quite a bit last year, and that's unacceptable if you want to keep your quarterback in the game for a long time. So the Patriots are up next. They had 11 selections in this particular draft. Let's see what the New England Patriots were able to do. First round, 32nd overall pick. They went with Malcolm Brown, defensive tackle out of Texas. I gave it an A+. You know, they didn't do much and ended up with a top 10 caliber player. Huge. And he also fits a need as he's a Vince Wilfork clone in some ways. I think that this was an amazing pick for the Patriots, and the rest of the division is very frustrated. Second round, 64th overall selection, Jordan Richards, safety out of Stanford. Give it a C+. You know, the physical nature of Richards could prove useful for the Pats. I just think he was drafted a little highly. So let's see what happens in this particular situation. Third round, 97th overall selection, Geno Grissom, defensive end / outside linebacker out of Oklahoma. Gave it a C. You know, he's an edge rusher with some power, but he has mediocre explosion. Let's see if he's able to be useful in this particular scheme. Fourth round, 101st overall selection, Trey Flowers, defensive end / outside linebacker out of Arkansas, B-. You know, he's a better version of Grissom, in my opinion, or he's a better player than Grissom. He actually plays, he reminds me of Rob Ninkovich. You know, they're a little stiff, but they're always in plays, and they always make the proper play, it seems like. Fourth round, 111th overall selection, Trey Jackson, guard out of Florida State. Give it a B+. The best way to keep things moving forward is to keep Tom Terrific upright, and Trey Jackson can do so. Sticking in the fourth round, 131st overall pick, Shaq Mason, center slash guard out of Georgia Tech, another B+ grade. They can continue to address the interior of the O-line as they know that that particular area is getting a little aged out. Let's see if this works out for this Patriots team. Fifth round, 166th overall selection, Joe Cardonia, long snapper out of Navy. I gave it a D. And folks, before you panic and say, why would you do that to one of our servicemen? That's exactly why I did it. I think that he's good at what he does. I mean, he's a heck of a long snapper. Best in this class. This is not a slight against his talent, but against drafting a guy that may not play for you for up to 5 years. That commitment is serious. So that's why I gave it a D, because from the perspective of drafting a player to help your team, I don't think he's even going to ever long snap for this team with Tom Brady on the roster. So that's a little interesting. Sixth round, 178th overall pick, Matthew Wells, outside linebacker from Mississippi State, gave it a C. You know, he's a solid outside linebacker with really good speed, but he'll probably just help on special teams early on. Just don't think that he's going to do much other than that, in my opinion. Sixth round, 202nd overall pick, A.J. Derby, tight end out of Arkansas, gave it a B. You know, the release of Tim Wright kind of speaks to what they think of Derby making the roster and what kind of impact he can make. He can even be the second tight end in this particular situation behind the best tight end in the game. I'm going to say Rob Gronkowski because I hate the Gronk persona. I think Rob Gronkowski is a freaking baller, but that Gronk persona, it can go die in a fire. I hate that persona. Awful. Seventh round, 247th overall pick, Daryl Roberts, cornerback out of Marshall. Gave it a C+. You know, he's a physical cornerback with a short memory, which could be good in some ways, but it can also be a negative because he does set himself up by jumping a lot of passes, susceptible to double moves, and that is something that could prove negative. Luckily, he's playing in a division with all quarterbacks that throw the first read that they have. So he might have 25 picks next year. Seventh round, 253rd overall pick, Xavier Dixon, or Xavier Dixon, I should say, outside linebacker out of Alabama, another C+. You know, the Pats are clearly going with a certain type of edge rusher. It seems like all their edge rushers that they're selecting seem to have a little bit of stiffness to them. Pick three of them. So that's the type of guy they like. And here are a couple of undrafted free agents who could make the roster. David Andrews, center out of Georgia, you know, continue to improve that offensive line. And then Chris Harper, wide receiver out of Cal. Harper's got talent. Problem with Harper is he's way too inconsistent. But the Patriots have been able to do that, where they work with inconsistent guys like Kimbrell Tompkins, and they can be useful for a few games. And moving on to the New York Football Jets. Yes, folks, if you didn't realize why they call them the New York Football Giants, it's because the Giants also play New York in baseball. It's just neither here nor there, but I like making fun of it by calling them the New York Football Jets. Anyway, six picks in this particular draft the Jets had. So let's address what happened with their draft picks. First round, sixth overall selection, Leonard Williams, defensive end out of USC. I gave it a B grade. You know, they went with the value pick, and I think that just speaks to what they think is going to happen with Muhammad Wilkerson's contract. Basically, that's what they're saying. So I give it a B. Let's see what happens, though, because it's not the same type of rotation as having defensive ends that are rush-ins where they go hard and then get – it's just a little different. So if they think that they're not going to re-sign him, it's more of an A move. I think that they're going to try to re-sign him, and if they do, it's definitely a B move. Second round, 37th overall selection, Devin Smith, wide receiver out of Ohio State. Gave it a B+. Reason being is because what Devin Smith brings to the table is tracking, ball tracking. He goes up and he high points the ball, big time deep threat. He's already better than one guy who's on the roster named Eric Decker. That's my opinion. Third round, 82nd overall pick, Lorenzo Malden, linebacker, outside linebacker from Louisville. I gave this particular pick a B. I think that Malden, while he might be a little bit stiff, is useful for Todd Bowles and what he wants to do, getting up the field. Fourth round, 103rd overall selection, Bryce Petty, quarterback out of Baylor. I gave it a C+. Here's why. Bryce Petty is not a bad quarterback. I actually think that he's a pretty good quarterback. And where they selected him isn't a horrible place. You know, I had a later round, fifth to sixth round grade on him. But same point in time, fourth round is within the confines of fine. If they would have picked him in the second round, I'd have an issue. You need someone to battle against Geno Smith that's also young. And I understand that. And Bryce Petty can spin the ball. But Bryce Petty is physically limited. He's 24 years old when the season starts. That just doesn't speak to long-term success. It hasn't been in the league history. So let's see what happens. Fifth round, 152nd overall selection, Jarvis Harrison, guard out of Texas A&M. I gave it a C grade. I think there were better guards that were available at this point in time. Same thing that goes along with it is I understand why they're doing it. Strengthening the offensive line. They want to be able to run the ball with the Chris Ivories of the world and just ground and pound. Seventh round, 223rd overall selection, Deion Simon, nose tackle out of Northwestern State. Now, I gave this a B-. I think that he's going to be really active. He's going to be that interior guy, and he will be very useful for this organization. So here's some undrafted free agents that have a chance to make it. Deion Barnes, the outside linebacker slash defensive end out of Penn State. Look, if you haven't seen him play, see this kid play. Heck of a player. I think he's going to make the roster and be an impact player at some point in the near future. Darrell Eskridge, safety out of Syracuse. A guy who had the opportunity to be drafted. I think he would probably make the roster if he was drafted. Since he wasn't. That's the problem. He might have to play himself into a role somewhere else. Tywan Jones, inside linebacker at Michigan State. With the opportunity to only have a few selections in this draft, they had to try to fill the middle linebacker position in other ways, i.e. going through the undrafted free agent pool and getting a Tywan Jones who had some flaws in his game, but I think he's able to improve upon them and can make this roster and be a special teams contributor immediately. And then Wes Sexton, tight end slash wide receiver out of South Alabama. Just one of those matchup nightmares, probably about 248 pounds, 6'5". Just a matchup nightmare. That's a problem. That is a problem that you have to deal with, and you don't want to deal with that problem. So those are the guys who I think have an opportunity to flash. Denver Broncos are up next as we go to the AFC West. Their first round selection, 23rd overall, Shane Ray, defensive end out of Missouri, gave it an A. Reason being, kudos to the Broncos for A, moving up to capture a player that was high on their board. They didn't need this guy, but they wanted him, and they go and get a piece that can be very useful coming off the edge. Second round, 59th overall selection, Tyler Sombrallo, offensive tackle out of Colorado State. You know, this pick, I gave it a B, but this pick gets even more important with the Ryan Clady injury. So let's see what happens. A guy can play either either offensive tackle position. Very good, very useful for this team. Let's see how he's able to ingratiate himself into this Denver Broncos organization. Third round, 92nd overall pick, Jeff Heuermann, tight end out of Ohio State. Gave it a C. Just thought it was way too early to pick a guy who I thought had more of a seventh-round grade on him. I understand they're trying to fill for that tight end position. But again, was there some sort of flaw in Ben Koyak's film that I didn't see? I just think that he was a much better tight end, and to fall all the way to the seventh round is crazy. Fourth round, 133rd overall selection, Max Garcia, center out of Florida. C+. I actually think that Max Garcia is a good center. He's solid. And I know we make fun of that solid word when you don't have familiarity. I have quite a bit of familiarity with the University of Florida. What I mean by solid is he doesn't have many flaws to his game. He's not overly athletic, which is a negative. But the positive is he's part effort, part technique, and that's huge. You know, that's something to definitely hang your hat on. So I think that he could work well in this Denver offense where it's more about being an intelligent offensive lineman than just a mauler. Fifth round, 164th overall selection, Lorenzo Doss, cornerback out of Tulane, gave it an A. I think he's one of the top corners in this particular draft. His lack of size is what really played into it, and also the fact that he went to an institution called Tulane. Doss has probably the best ball skills or some of the best ball skills in this entire class, and Quest Golson, I think, has better ball skills, but not many have better ball skills than Lorenzo Doss. Sixth round. Oh, we have a caller coming in. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Oh, hey, Chris. It's Josh again from Suwannee.
How are you doing, Josh?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing yourself?
Oh, doing very well. What can I do for you?
I was going to ask, since I'm pretty sure you've heard the news of Ryan Tannehill getting his contract extension, I was wondering if you think he was justified enough to get that contract, because I've heard people criticizing the contract, saying he got it a little bit too early for a guy who hasn't made the playoffs yet, and I've heard probably hot takes saying that he'll be better than Cam Newton. What's your take on him getting his new contract?
And that's a great question. I fully understand why some people say, you know, he hasn't proved anything, he hasn't won something, things like that. What Ryan Tannehill has done is not played poorly at any point. He's actually played fairly well throughout his entire NFL career. It was lucky that he went to an organization where he had extreme familiarity with the system and scheme. Another thing is he's gotten better each year and has not shown regression, which is not given enough credit. I think this is the make or break year where he will prove out his ability to be a good quarterback, which I think he can be. As far as being better than Cam Newton, again, I don't know who makes some of these comments and these comparisons, but if it's from an accuracy standpoint, short accuracy, yeah, he's probably more accurate than Cam Newton in short accuracy. Deep ball, absolutely not. That's the hitch in Ryan Tannehill's game. And as far as being more formidable to play against, I think if you ask any defense in the NFL, would you rather play against Cam Newton or against Ryan Tannehill? They would take Ryan Tannehill every day. So, to answer your question, he deserved the contract because he's done his job, but he's not that guy that's the true definition of a franchise quarterback, in my opinion.
Right, because you've heard people, because I'm pretty sure you see him, he gets away with, let's say, more, him and Matt Stafford, even though they've had more weapons than, let's say, probably RG3, but RG3's been more injured, or let's say, I don't know, a Geno Smith, who I understand that he needs to show up this year, but like if you probably switch them, I'm pretty sure the Dolphins probably would have made the playoffs with Geno Smith at quarterback, because I'm pretty sure he can at least hit the deep ball. I mean, more than him.
You know, the interesting thing is, I can't say that. I actually think that they've done better with Ryan Tannehill than they would have done with Geno Smith, only because he's so familiar with that offense where it was easier for him to get into the groove. Geno Smith has a higher ceiling in some respects, and in some respects Ryan Tannehill has a higher ceiling.
Right.
But Geno Smith, this is a make-or-break year for him, not because of how poorly he's played. The main thing is he hasn't had consistent weapons like a Brandon Marshall. Like that's a huge addition to have a Brandon Marshall on your roster at wide receiver instead of having Eric Decker. The difference between those two is massive. Ryan Tannehill had the, I don't want to call it luxury, but the luxury of having a Mike Wallace who, even though he's not a great route runner, you have to account for him. The defense has to put a safety over the top. So it's a make-or-break year for both. The Dolphins should make the playoffs this year as a wild card, and you should see Geno Smith go above a 60 total QBR. He's got to do that. He can't keep floating around 33 QBR, total QBR.
Right. Okay. Well, thanks for your answer. I really appreciated it.
No, thank you for the call. I appreciate it also. And feel free to call in anytime. Actually, next week we'll be back on, so feel free to call in.
All right, I will.
All right, have a good day.
You too.
And always good to get callers on the line. Remember, if you want to participate in the show, folks, that call-in number is 323-657-1489. That's 323-657-1489. And, yeah, Ryan Tannehill, I'm glad he asked the question. You know, as much as Ryan Tannehill, you know, when he came out, I think people get confused as far as my opinion on quarterbacks because I take that position very, very seriously. That's the number one position that I really assess. I didn't say Ryan Tannehill was a bad quarterback. What I said is Ryan Tannehill didn't deserve a first-round pick. I thought he was more a third- to fourth-round guy, similar to Blake Bortles, third- to fourth-round guy, because they had hitches and flaws in their game that proved out that they weren't ready to be a top pick. And you saw it. You saw that the guys who were picked over Ryan Tannehill played better in year one. And the same thing with Blake Bortles as far as the guys who were picked in the first 40 picks that I thought were better played better than him, Teddy Bridgewater and Derek Carr. The good thing with Ryan Tannehill is, again, as a player of any sort, but especially as a quarterback, you have to hit the ground running and play at least marginal football. And then from that marginal football, get better every year, prove something. This is the year when Ryan Tannehill has to start hitting the deep ball because what he's done is his offensive coordinator understands, get this guy on the edge, he throws very well on the run. From the pocket, he's probably a sub-55% passer. On the run, he's a 65% passer. I'm making those numbers up. I'm just going off of what I've seen. Now, throwing the deep ball, it seems like Ryan Tannehill, to make up for a lack of touch, tries to drive the ball too far because he doesn't want to underthrow and throw a pick. Or he'll throw it to the boundary and throw it in, actually out of bounds. When you have speed like Mike Wallace has, the worst thing a quarterback can ever do is overthrow you or throw the ball out of bounds. It's really hard to overthrow speed, but guys with strong arms do it because they get scared to not throw a pick. So it's time for the Dolphins, especially with the additions of Devontae Parker and Jarvis Landry being a year two, to really step up and do some things. And it's Ryan Tannehill who's got the target on his back now. So jumping back in, sixth round, the Denver Broncos, 203rd overall pick, Darius Kilgo. Nose tackle out of Maryland. Gave it a beat. First and second downs, also playing on goal line situations, being a good field guy against the run and a battler who's on that secondary sub-unit. Seventh round, 250th overall selection. Trevor Siemian, quarterback out of Northwestern. Gave it a C. I don't think that he's a bad player. That is not why the C came. They do this every year. So you have Peyton Manning, okay? You know Peyton Manning's not going to play for the next decade. Understandable. Why would you keep waiting till the seventh round to draft someone, Zach Dicer, this kid, hoping that they may become the next big thing when you can just realize you either don't draft a quarterback at all and you sign one instead, like they could have just signed this kid, or you draft one earlier. Or if something happens like a Brett Hundley. Brett Hundley went to the fifth round. And Green Bay said, we understand Brett Hundley's talent. And we understand that Aaron Rodgers is great. We're going to draft him because he should not be in the fifth round. So it's an indictment against a team like Denver that had a pick in the fifth round before the Packers and did not pick Brett Hundley, but picked Trevor Siemian. So let's see. Maybe he'll be good in the future. I'm not saying he won't. I'm just saying that's my issue with this particular selection. Seventh round. Next pick was 251st. Torian Nixon, cornerback out of Tulane. C+. He actually played very well off on the opposite side from Lorenzo Doss. And I think putting him in combo with him and having both really come in and play in sub-packages, especially Doss starting off as a nickel corner, playing in the slot, and then moving into a traditional role probably at the left cornerback position, will be big. Seventh round. 252nd overall pick. Three straight picks. Josh Furman, strong safety out of Oklahoma State, gave it a C+. You know, a guy who can come up, he can put a little thump on you if necessary, can play in the box, and that's what they like here. They want some guy who can come down, and play, and he actually can defend against tight ends and slot if necessary. Some undrafted free agents that have a chance to shine. Dylan Day, center out of Mississippi State, nasty demeanor, a guy who probably shouldn't have gotten drafted because of the off the on-the-field issues combined with having marginal talent, but I would have been fine with him being drafted late in the draft. Zaire Anderson, outside linebacker out of Nebraska, also has an opportunity in a linebacking core that really does need more depth. Kyle Roberts, offensive tackle out of Nevada. That one's obvious, Ryan Clady's injury. One of these two guys, him or Kelon Davis out of Clemson, one of those two guys has the opportunity to really make an impact and be the 10th offensive lineman on this roster if necessary. So let's see what happens. Sticking in the West, we're going to move forward to the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, the Chiefs had some good draft picks, nine picks. And in the first round, the 18th overall selection, they went with Marcus Peters, cornerback out of Washington. He got an A grade, folks. There may be no better fit than Marcus Peters at corner for the Chiefs. In-your-face, press corner, physical, long arms. This is what Andy Reid wanted in a corner, and they got it. And I'm actually very happy with that selection. Second round, 49th overall selection. Mitch Morse, guard out of Missouri. Gave it a C-. Didn't agree with the selection at this point in the draft with guys who I thought were better on the board. Consider this, and I mean, it is what it is, but Ali Marpet was still on the board. That's all I'm going to say. Third round, 76th overall selection, Chris Conley, wide receiver out of Georgia. Gave it a B-. You know, good, big receiver, fast receiver, good hands. The problem with it, still has Alex Smith throwing the ball, which has been a detriment to any receiver going deep. As he's thrown the ball deep on 4% of his passes, 4% of his completions have been past 20 yards. 4%. That's absurd. That is absurd. Third round, 98th overall selection. Steven Nelson, cornerback out of Oregon State, gave it a B. I see what they're trying to do here, and you see what they're trying to do. They know that there was an issue in that secondary, and they're trying to solve it right now. Definitely a problem. Fourth round, 118th overall selection, Ramique Wilson, inside linebacker out of Georgia. You can tell that one of their scouts went to Georgia and went to the pro day and was impressed. When you see multiple guys from a region that's not right next to you being drafted, you know that one of those scouts, the head scout, was at the pro day for Georgia and was like, oh, these guys are nice. So Ramique Wilson gets a B-. He may just end up replacing Derrick Johnson one day. Right now, he's probably going to be a backup who does some fill and spot duty. Fifth round, 72nd overall selection, I should say. DJ Alexander, outside linebacker, out of Oregon State, gave it a C. He will likely play on the inside here because the scheme fit isn't really what we're looking for with this guy. I think that he's more of a chase and tackle guy, right outside linebacker in the 4-3. So it just really didn't fit, in my opinion. Sticking in the fifth round, next pick, 173rd overall selection, James O'Shaughnessy, tight end out of Illinois State, gave it a B. You know, O'Shaughnessy should function quite well as an H-back or even as an inline guy for this particular roster. Travis Kelce is a guy that was that guy last year. I think O'Shaughnessy has a lot of talent, and people will get to see it who didn't get to see the Redbirds before. Sixth round, 217th overall selection, Rakeem Nunez Roaches, defensive tackle out of Southern Miss, B+. He's an undersized guy, but he is active and he makes an impact. Probably one of the most underrated interior players from 2014. Seventh round, 233rd overall selection, Deron Brown, wide receiver out of Northern Illinois. Gave it a C+. You know, another big wide receiver to use on the exterior. They're still trying to replace Dwayne Bowe and figure out what to do at that wide receiver position. And then an undrafted guy, only one guy because of that wide receiver position, Antella Luckett, another big guy out of Harding. Is a guy to look to. I'm going to keep moving through, folks. The Oakland Raiders are up next. The Raiders are interesting. Quite a few picks, and we're going to get through this. 10 picks. We all know what I thought about the first pick, so we can move forward. They, with the fourth overall selection, took Amari Cooper, gave it an A, because he's Amari Cooper. You all saw football last year and for the last 3 years. Second round. 35th overall selection, Mario Edwards Jr., defensive end out of Florida State, give it a B. You know, they're going to play him on the interior and as an active force, play him at the one tech, even use him in situational football at the left defensive end position. So let's see what Mario Edwards Jr. is able to do. Third round, 68th overall selection, Clive Walford, tight end out of Miami. Gave it a B. They're going to play him as the inline tight end and have Michael Rivera playing as their H-back. It's going to be very interesting, the matchups that they're able to have for Derek Carr. Fourth round, 128th overall selection, John Feliciano, guard out of Miami. Gave it a C-plus grade. I think that he will be helpful, and he could really be the right guard in the, of the future for this organization. Fifth round, 140th overall selection, Ben Haney, inside linebacker out of Kansas. Another C-plus grade. Only C-plus because I do like Haney's ability and the fact that he's always around. I just don't think he's going to be playing middle linebacker here. I think he's probably going to end up playing more on the right side and flexing out because he is a running and tackle, chasing tackle type guy. Excuse me. Fifth round, 161st overall selection. Here's where I start to have a problem. Neron Bell, inside linebacker out of Florida. Give it a C-. I just don't think that Bell fits their scheme. I think that he's a little stiff in his movements and what he does, and that does not play into what the Raiders want to do, in my opinion. Sixth round, 179th overall selection. They might even put Bell at end at some point, just to be honest. Max Bliss, outside linebacker from Virginia, gave it a C. You know, he's a rush in with upside for marginal production, which really is interesting to me as to what they're going to do with him since they don't really play a 3-4 scheme. Seventh round, 218th overall selection, Anthony Morris, outside offensive tackle from Tennessee State. Gave it a C. You know, he's a physical blocker with a frame to add size as he's just under 300 pounds. One of those guys who I think they're probably going to use as a fill guy to start off, swing tackle, and then move forward from there to figure out if he can actually be a contributor consistently on that offensive line. Seventh round, 221st overall selection, Andre Dubose, wide receiver out of Florida. Gave it a C initially, but really is a C-plus grade. I think he hurt his Achilles, so he might be missing some time. He's not going to give you anything at wide receiver, but what he can give you is the opportunity to score in the return game. So that could be huge. Seventh round, 242nd overall pick, Dexter McDonald, cornerback out of Kansas, gave it a B-. I think that he's an underrated corner who really has the opportunity to do something. So some undrafted guys for Oakland. There's Michael Dyer, running back out of Louisville. Josh Harper, wide receiver out of Fresno State, and that could be a good one for them. And Tevin McDonald is the one who I think really can make a roster for this upcoming season for a team here in the NFL. Now, the San Diego Chargers up next. They only have 5 draft picks. Let's see what they were able to do with them. First round, 15th overall selection, they went with Melvin Gordon III. Gave it an A. I think that he's one of those guys that is impact upon impact and will be a starter from day one. Second round, 48th overall selection, Denzel Perryman, inside linebacker from Miami. Another A grade. I think that he is a guy who can start right next to Manti Te'o, and that can be a forcible interior defensive core. Third round, 83rd overall selection, Craig Mager, cornerback out of Texas State, B-plus, a guy who can come and step in and be a slot corner immediately with his talent and skill set. Fifth round, 153rd overall selection, Kyle Emanuel, outside linebacker / rush in from North Dakota State, gave it a B. I think that there were some guys who were better than him, but at the same point in time, he's definitely no one to sleep on. And then sixth round, 192nd overall selection, Darius Phalon, defensive tackle out of Arkansas, B-plus. He will be that 5 technique and be very useful for this team. Here are some guys that are undrafted that could make the roster. A lot of them, since they only have 5 picks. Manuel Esprilla, cornerback out of Boston College. Ben Beckwith, guard out of Mississippi State. Titus Davis, wide receiver out of Central Michigan. Curtis Grant, inside linebacker out of Ohio State. John Loudermilk, strong safety out of Iowa. And then Ryan Mueller, outside linebacker / fullback out of Kansas State. Very interesting player who was ranked as a defensive end / rush guy on my board before. Well, folks, that's the show for tonight. Remember, if you ever want to participate, the call-in number is 323-657-1489. My Twitter handle is CJFlorida9. Feel free to hit me up with questions and comments. Next week, will be an interesting show. I will tell you what's going on with the Football Game Plan Radio Network next week. So, for that, I'm signing off. It's Chris James. Enjoy tonight's NBA Finals. It should be a good one.